Hello and welcome to Bend the Knee, a Song of Ice and Fire podcast. I am Sir Matt, the Bud Knight.
And I am Sir Jimmy of House Nuts. Welcome to our Song of Ice and Fire book club. And today we are going to come at you with some new House of the Dragon news. And Matt, I'm stuttering because I'm floored that we've heard.
I know, it's been a bit. Yeah. It's been a little bit, hasn't it? That since House of the Dragon is like, you know, we were coming at there as long as we could, and then all right, now let's get back into the reread. And we get a few chapters in, and suddenly, boom, a little bit of House of the Dragon news. So we know, you know, just some of the roundup, right? For season two. We knew, you know, that season one, August 2021 is when it started, ended, I think, in October. So we knew we obviously weren't going to get it in 2022 is when the show came out. It's 2023 now. It's like the years just fly by. So we knew we weren't going to get House of the Dragon season two until 2024. We don't know when in 2024, but we do know they're beginning filming. I think they actually are supposed to have started filming right in March. So they're either currently filming or they're just getting ready to start filming here pretty shortly. So production's definitely underway. So, you know, some of the things we don't know, and we're going to talk about this a little bit today. We have sort of two topics. One is a comment by Matt Smith, which I have the audio pulled up and we'll play here. And then the other is a possible casting. And I think, you know, we've talked about the importance of this character, is that this is going to be the most important character, you know, outside of Daemon and Rhaenyra, that's cast. I mean, this is like the make or break casting for the majority of House of the Dragon after, you know, Paddy Considine as Viserys in season one, but obviously he's gone now. So let's move first to this comment by Matt Smith. So let me know if you can hear this, Jimmy. If not, I'll get the audio changed around here. One second here.
Start in April. I got all the scripts on Friday, actually. Oh, they're late. They're really late.
So you know everything that
happens. It was the way, isn't it? It was coming so late.
You know everything that happens then in season two.
Not everything. I haven't got to the end of it yet. But yeah.
Please, you've got 20 seconds to tell us everything you know.
Yeah. So what happens is 15, 14.
Okay. Then he started. Right. He sort of makes a joke and then, you know, and then brushes it off. So. Getting it late is sort of the topic. And a lot of people online are saying there's a whole gambit of what people are going on. Some people are going with what I think is the most likely scenario. As they said, a lot of HBO shows, especially like Game of Thrones, they got the scripts really late once the show gets big because they don't want stuff getting leaked.
Yeah, right? That would make sense.
That's, I think, the most logical one. Other ones are people saying rewrites. Other people are out there saying, oh, here we go. Here's Warner Brothers again. They're like, are they going to fumble season two of House of the Dragon? They can't get the scripts on time. So, I mean, there's a lot of sort of theories out there, you know, online as to what is going on here with House of the Dragon season two and perhaps getting these scripts late. So, like, what are your sort of initial thoughts here?
Well, I'm not that concerned because I would imagine that scripts coming late aren't all that uncommon, especially with, you know, a hit TV show that's trying to rush to production. I mean, of course, I would probably prefer them to be on time, but if I had not seen this interview, I wouldn't have known one way or the other. So were season one scripts late? Like, do we know that? Can we go back and find that out? Because if they were late, then I would say, hey, we're probably okay. I'm not sure. I don't make too much of a big deal about this type of stuff. Just for the sole fact that I feel like I don't have the best insights of how Hollywood works or studios or direction or any of that stuff. So it could be no big deal at all. And who knows, maybe Matt Smith's trolling everyone.
Could be. He did sort of seem like he was brushing it off there. But of course, you know, there was like a showrunner that was not fired, but left. So people were like, oh, now they had to scramble and try and fix everything. And so,
yeah, you know,
that's some of the narrative online right now about what this possibly could be. And I think it expands a little bit further. Let me see if I can, if I can see what, you know, what some of these other things are saying.
Well, rewrites aren't the worst thing in the world. Rewrites sometimes can be a good thing.
Yeah, a lot of movies. Star Wars Rogue One had a lot of rewrites, mm-hmm. you know, and it fixed it. So I did find this. It says Game of Thrones season 8, the cast only got the script 2 days before the table read. And then a lot of people saying here that like Lord of the Rings was being rewritten every single day during the entire shoot.
Yeah, and the season 8 one was 100%, in my opinion, probably for the leaks, I would assume. And they still leaked, so...
So you're going with it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, why would I get all bent out of shape about it? Like I said, we don't know if even the first season one. Like, I'd like to know the ratio of how many seasons had late scripts. And also, like, these people are professionals and have experience in this. This isn't like, you know, a first go around for a lot of these people. So whenever you're professional, you make things happen. Like, dude, I would go to wrestling shows. Let me give this an example, right? I always thought if I made it to WWE that everything would be way in order because these independent wrestling shows that I came up on were always so disorganized and no one knew what was going on. It frustrated me. And then I got to do like 5 or 6 WWE spots and tryouts. And guess what? It's a mess up there too. And I was like, oh, no one knows what they're doing. Like, no, none of it matters. Like, it's always going to be a mess. And I can't imagine that filming a TV show is much different. I imagine it's always chaos. And if it wasn't the scripts being laid, it would have been the costumes or the makeup or the production trailer or whatever it else might have been. So I think there's just bumps in the roads whenever it comes to big productions because so many pieces are involved and they're moving at all times that you deal with it.
Yeah. So he did another thing I think I did gloss over there is in that thing I found a transcript of it just because that's like from a TikTok video. So it's like somebody's filming it starting in April. So filming is starting in April. So that's pretty sweet. So, you know, mm-hmm. I think House of the Dragon, I'm trying to remember, you know, it was finished for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, obviously they have to go in and do at least finish filming, right? Then you have to go in and do a lot of CGI and everything. Because I think they finished last like February. What? And I think they said it took about 6 months of post production.
Yeah, I think that's pretty normal too. I believe the dates that I've been seeing getting thrown around are people saying like earliest would be like June 2024, but more likely July, August 2024.
Yeah, I think it'll probably be around that July, August. Mm-hmm. Period as well. Who knows? You know, we don't know what next year looks like. Maybe they move it up, move it back. You know, I think this year, whether it was just a decision, I mean, it was definitely a decision by Warner Brothers since, you know, Rings of Power had announced their release window.
Yeah.
A long time before. I mean, they said, you know, like Rings of Power came out on that. The way Amazon does it, that sort of Thursday, Friday release. I think it's a worldwide release in some parts of the world on Friday, but here in the US, it ends up being like Thursday night. But, you know, I mean, for House of the Dragon to go on Sundays in August, I mean, they're saying, that's fine. We'll go straight up against not only, you know, this sort of Rings of Power that's coming out, but also go up against football.
They did very well.
Yeah, so maybe now they're like, we can release season 2 whenever we want. Doesn't matter. Yeah.
I think when HBO comes to the table, they come with it swinging, if you know what I mean. I don't think that they really care too much about it. I think they have the idea that they're the best at what they do, and they perform like it most of the time. So, and you know, the whole Rings of Power, House of the Dragon thing, I mean, it was fun to kind of bounce back and forth. But, like, both shows did great if you look at the viewership. The numbers. It is clear that the appetite for epic fantasy shows, albeit they're very, very different, is wide and strong enough in the general audiences that, you know, you can sustain two on different networks at the same time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, I think I'm with you ultimately on the scripts thing. I think it's just probably a combination of a lot of things. I don't know that they're like late and that like Warner Brothers is fumbling it because it's an HBO show. If it were maybe, you know, DC or something, right? Or like Harry Potter or one of these other sort of facets that not doing particularly well at the moment, then yeah, I could see that. But HBO, I mean, The Last of Us is on right now, and it's just like, it's like knocking it out of the park.
People are very happy.
Yeah. HBO is literally the only thing holding that ship together right now. So
keep on. As long as they leave him alone and give me my goddamn Duncan Egg show.
We'll get it. We'll get it.
We better.
So, Matt. Hey. Okay. Well, here we go. Now let's talk about another sort of big news thing here. So we talked about this before, and of course, what we're about to talk about here is not set in stone, but this is sort of speculation, but we should probably find out here pretty soon. I mean, especially if filming starting, like there's going to be leaks, right? So you might as well just go ahead and announce it. And I would imagine we would know here pretty shortly. I mean, when you film seasons, you don't necessarily always film things in order. Like sometimes you film the last stuff first just because of where you're at on set locations and everything. But oftentimes you still sort of move through like episode 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6s, the way it typically goes. So the character that might be the most important character outside of Daemon, Rhaenyra, and Viserys, and Alicent, it's Kraegan Stark.
Yeah, absolutely.
And right now, the sort of rumored lead is Leo Sutter, who was in Vikings of Valhalla. I haven't seen any of the Viking shows, but I'm just going to share a picture here on the screen. This guy, to me, he looks like he could be Kraegan Stark.
Oh, he's a unit. Absolute unit. And people seem excited about this. When I looked online, people were like, hey, this works. I mean, look at those pecs. I mean, I know we're on audio here, but my God. The man's boobs got boobs.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we were really hoping for Henry Cavill, but, you know, I don't think that's going to happen. So,
nah, he's busy playing Superman, but also not playing Superman. This works for me. What about you? Do you like this?
Yeah, I think this could work. I mean, you know, just looking at the picture here, he looks, you know, they said, that Kraegan Stark's supposed to be about the same age as Jacaerys Velaryon. He's definitely a little older. But yeah, I mean, it definitely looks, you know, in this picture, his hair is sort of up. And of course, I guess people who've probably seen Vikings are like, oh yeah, I know, you know that this guy, this actor. But I mean, yeah, because here's the deal. Kraegan Stark, and we can go kind of non-spoilers here, and then we can give a pause and say, now we're going to enter spoilers. So maybe turn your audio off for a second. But Kraegan Stark is like the most important character outside of our Targaryens. Mm-hmm. He's a big deal. He's a huge, huge, huge important player. Okay, that's the non-spoiler part. Now we'll go into the spoiler part, so potentially tune your ears out for a second. I mean, he's the end of the whole story. Like, the whole thing ends with him coming down as Hand of the King and saying, and serving as Hand of the King for the day and the Hour of the Wolf and saying, this is how it's going to be. I mean, especially, you know, as Rhaenyra's and Daemon and all these other characters' stories come to an end, he's going to come in. And if some of these characters aren't in the last, you know, half of that final season, this is the guy that's going to be kind of leading the TV.
Yeah, I mean, and you already know an ending of a television show is such a big deal, but it's even a bigger deal in our universe here in the Game of Thrones universe because of season 8. So this has to be a nailed casting. It has to be a nailed writing. Like, everything's got to go very, very well for us. What I will say is, and I think you would probably agree with this, he's going to come into the story much sooner, obviously getting cast for season 2, but not just because they're up in Winterfell talking to him. Do you feel like he'll end up in King's Landing prior to that? Or do you think we get extended scenes out in Winterfell?
I think we will get a lot more of this character than we get in the books. Of course, you know, the books are just a rough outline.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'd have to imagine that we are going to get more of this character and, you know, a shift to what's going on in Winterfell and some of these other areas, especially because, you know, one of the things that I think, you know, I think that this is where the time jumps worked was in Game of Thrones, you were all over the place. Right. I mean, especially once you get out of like season 1.
Oh, yeah.
Because season 1 is really just like the King's Road. It's like Winterfell, the Wall, the King's Road, and then Daenerys until you get to King's Landing. And then it's like, okay, now it splinters a little bit. But in House of the Dragon, it's like, it's pretty much just like Daemon, Daemon, Rhaenyra, and Alicent. And like, that's kind of it. You don't, you know, that's why I feel like them really pushing House Valerion was a big deal, because you need some of these other factions to make it feel like Game of Thrones. Whereas now, as we progress forward, we're going to get like, okay, here's like you know, Kristen Cole will lead troops over here and Damon's going to take troops over here. So to have some of this sort of break, which I always felt like Daenerys was, because Daenerys is always over in Essos. So it's like a huge shift to go from, you know, even like the wall feels sort of like separated from everything else. But like, yeah, Daenerys feels like the biggest shift because her story is completely isolated for a long time.
Yeah, and I think it's almost a little bit more natural to open up the story in a season two. I mean, obviously we get kind of thrown to the wolves whenever it comes to Game of Thrones, and that's part of the charm too of it. But definitely going to hopefully open the story up a bit more. I think, I mean, we're going to see Winterfell, which is going to be great. My bet is that's the opening scene of season two. But I really wouldn't mind, you know, getting some extended plot, like maybe someone going out to recruit the houses, kind of like what we saw in the last episode, but maybe in a more lengthy form, and maybe even see some of the conflicts in those areas. Like, you could do little mini things there. They're going to change some stuff, and we got to be okay with that. I think we have to realize it's an adaptation, and they can play with things, and they're certainly going to. And Craig and Stark is a huge casting for all of that.
Yeah. And I have another picture here. Let me just pull this up, because I think this will be more.
This is less. They're strappy. There's less package here.
Although it is in these. I did pull this off of the subreddit Lady Boners. So, so it is actually they're strappy. Because I was just typing in Leo Sutter, and it was like one of the first things that came up. But this look right here, his hair is down a little bit more. He's got like the beard. He'll have probably more of a thick, you know, full beard being up there in Winterfell. But now it's like, okay, you're telling me this guy's going to be a Stark. I'm like, yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, I'm in. They might need to, those little blonde curls, they might need to darken them up a little bit for me, but I think we're set. If this is truly going to be the person who gets confirmed on the casting, I'll be very happy with this.
Yeah, I think so too. Because again, this is like the one, not that Game of Thrones has really ever had poor casting. Honestly, like the worst casting in Game of Thrones was probably, you know, the fact that they had two other people play the Mountain before Hathor Bjorkson plays him.
Euron.
Because then, no, I see. I don't know that the casting for Euron was bad, but like the direction for Euron.
He kind of looked like a backwoods Bam Margera. Like I couldn't get behind it.
I don't know that this casting, like I think you could make an argument Mance Rayder's casting and also how they portrayed him, because Mance Rayder is definitely a little bit younger. It's kind of weird. They went with an older Mance Rayder and a much younger Tormund Giantsbane.
Yeah, that is strange. I never really thought about that.
They really, because Tormund in the books is like old.
Yeah.
He's got like gray hair as opposed to, you know, fire red. Yeah. I mean, it was great. It worked.
It did. He did a great job. He was also great in The Witcher. He had a spot in the first Witcher season two episode, and I thought it was great.
Yeah. Was there any casting that you thought, I can't even think of one in House of the Dragon that was bad?
No. I liked all the casting. I thought everyone did a great job. I almost forget like how much I enjoyed season one of House of the Dragon, because we've been diving back into the book, so I'm like in full book mode. Yeah, I didn't have any problem with any of the casting. I thought
even Masaria.
All right, Masaria's casting is fine.
The actor, see, that's the thing. Fine. Yeah,
but the accents, butt cheeks, it's not good.
Yeah, see, that's sort of the thing. Is there's always a difference between, like, you know, do you cast somebody and then let them play the character to their abilities, or is it like the script that holds some people back? I mean, you see this a lot, right? Yeah. You know. Like, I'm a big Batman fan, and everyone's always like, oh, George Clooney was a bad Batman. But typically they're kind of like, well, he's kind of a good Bruce Wayne. It's like, no, it was direction. Like, George Clooney totally, like, when you think of who, like, Batman, George Clooney fits the bill. Okay. I mean,
yeah, George Clooney is a talented actor. Like,
yeah, it was a bad script.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, so really, yeah, in Game of Thrones, like, Mance Rayder might be the only one where I think it was maybe a little, not saying that a guy can't play him, but it's just, you know, script. And again, it was kind of weird that with an older Mance and a younger Tormund. Interesting. Interesting choice there.
Yeah, this guy, Leo, he looks like he's pretty much on par with what we would be with Craig and Stark, I think, right? For the age at the time period.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I mean, and then the actor who plays when you look at him actually without his beard, he looks like a lot younger. He's only 29. So, although the kid who plays Aemond looks way older than Ewan, I forget his name, but he looks way older than Aegon.
Yeah, he sure does. And that is something that people put.
But he's an amazing cast. I mean, he's like the perfectly cast.
Yes.
Aemon Targaryen. Yeah.
He looks older than his mom, honestly. So it looks like in 157 AC, Craigan would have been 49 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, but see, but remember Allison or Rhaenyra, excuse me, says that he's a little bit closer to your age.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're gonna lower his age, which is fine.
Yeah, and to be honest, this works. Like, you just got to be within the. Well, here's another thing in the books. Ed Stark's like 30. It's like 32 or 33.
I know.
And then you got Sean Bean going over into his golden years, and like we're all like, it's fine.
It's fine. Sweet.
Because the whole idea is, yeah, I mean, he's the perfect casting for Ned Stark. But in the books, the reason why he's 30 and kind of like the head of the household is because the life expectancy in Westeros is very, very young, because it's always constantly something bad happening, right? Whether it be disease or rot or war. It doesn't seem like people live all that long unless if they are maesters for whatever reason. That's not to say that people didn't live long, because obviously Aemon's at the wall. He's a maester still. But old man, right, would be an example. But it does seem like the head of households don't always seem to make it all that far in life. So it's interesting, because the book, I think, does play on that a little bit more than what the show does.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at this guy's acting resume. It's not very big.
No, he's been in a lot of television shows.
A couple, like in Vikings Valhalla, he was in two episodes.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing I guess Vikings Valhalla is kind of big, but I would say the biggest thing he is looks like a really small role. I mean, he's titled Young Man, so I can't imagine it was that big. In Maleficent, which was like Disney's reboot of,
yeah,
you know, the whatever with Angelina Jolie. I haven't seen it. But.
I will not see it, but yeah.
But yeah, other than that, he's been in a couple episodes. So he actually kind of fits the bill for what they're looking for.
Yeah.
Because that's typically kind of the way they like to do these things, is find somebody who's like got enough experience, but is ready to sort of become that megastar.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think there's something kind of cool with that, because in a way, if somebody's big break is with your project, then in a way they'll always be typecast and remembered mm-hmm. for that project. And if they go on to become like a megastar, a lot of times people still think back to
yes
that thing. Like take Sylvester Stallone, for example.
Yes.
I mean, no matter how big Sylvester Stallone has gotten over his career, he's always going to be Rocky and Rambo. Always. I mean, yes. That's like the first thing people are going to think of.
Think about Chris Pratt. To me, he will always be Andy Dwyer from Parks and Recreation, which is funny, because I know a lot of people know him from like Guardians of the Galaxy or whatever. But for me, he's Andy. He's Andy Dwyer through and through.
And I'll even say, I think for a lot of American audience, like, they're going to resonate. I mean, some people are going to be like, what you're about to say is sacrilegious.
Oh, no.
I think a lot of people are going to associate Matt Smith with House of the Dragon.
You think so?
I think so, because American, while Doctor Who has become, you know, slightly bigger in the US, it's still not nearly as big as it is in the UK. And it's still not nearly as, in the world of fandoms, Doctor Who is not like in that upper echelon, at least in the United States. I'm not saying it's not great. He was great in it. But Doctor Who still isn't in that upper echelon of like Star Wars, you know, like the you know, the big stuff.
Do you hear that?
Hear what?
The clickety clack of angry emails coming from the Hoofoos.
I love Doctor Who, man.
Nah, no, you started a war. It's over. We're gonna have to close the doors.
There is no war between Doctor Who and
Game of Thrones. Dude, the Hoofoos do not mess around. Okay.
It's not even close. I mean,
I'm just saying, you put us in the hot seat.
Oh, we're gonna go to war with England. Okay. The United States is going to go to war with England, okay?
Matt's putting the whole country on his injured back.
Okay, let's go. We have a road. We literally have, you know, a roadmap of how to pull that one off.
England, we love you.
That's true. We do. England's, England's, I think, our second highest demographic. We got to take care of our friends over there.
We do. We really do. They take care of us.
Right. It's just above Canada. So, you know,
hey, I'm all for the maple.
It's true. I do have more respect for England than I do Canada. So,
Matt, what are you doing?
Sorry. I'm just joking around. We love Canada too, you know.
We love all the countries.
Hey, we're like number one. You know, we were like, if you look at the demographics, I think we're like number one books podcast in like Grenada. So
shout out to Grenada.
Hey, to the six people over there listening. Hey.
Hey, you matter.
You do.
Topping the charts.
Absolutely. Okay. All right. Well, that's enough. Yeah. So just kind of a fun one. I don't think if there's any other House of the Dragon news or any topics you wanted to hit on, Jimmy, let me go check and see if George is.
Nah, he did. He did a update and it had not a single word about when's a winner, which I'll be honest, like I'm cool with it because he can write about whatever he wants, but it does appear that whenever he's not mentioning wins a winner, I tend to get a little worried. I do.
Yeah.
So he posted a YouTube video where he looks very decrepit, talking about him and Casterly Rock. But
yeah, he did a Casterly Rock thing not too long ago too.
Yeah. So this YouTube video is him talking about it in deeper detail, which seems like he's happy. In that blog post, he did say, "Please note that I did not use wins in the title of this blog. The last time I did that, the internet went nuts. Guys, gals, come on. Tony Hillerman wrote and published The Dark Wind decades before I ever dreamed of Westeros." Because he's talking about Dark Winds being adapted, which is one of his friends' works. So, yeah, nothing about, you know, anything good. We got Knight of Cooters, Wild Cards, throw it on the pile. It's fine. Actually, I've heard Wild Cards is really good, by the way, just so we all know.
Well, maybe we'll have to check it out.
Knight of the Cooters, I'm out on just because of the name of it. It is absolutely ridiculous.
Just because it's Cooters?
It's ridiculous. You can't name something Knight of the Cooters. This isn't the 70s.
The artwork for this Wild Cards books looks like an old Goosebumps book.
It's very inspired by Marvel, but he did a lot of the writing earlier. Now he just edits them, but he has brought in so many talented authors like Daniel Abraham, which is one of the Expanse writers. Robin Hobb is written in there among many, many, many others. So Wild Cards, from what I understand, like the first like 30 volumes are like really good. Like people like them a lot. Superhero stuff. And yeah, maybe one day we'll do like a Patreon episode. We'll read the first one. That would be fun.
Yeah, no, I'd be down.
We got plenty of time.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, it's still going to be a while. Are we still on track?
Oh yeah, we're definitely on track. Because November 2024, right? That's my guess. So we got plenty of time, plenty of time. I would love to see an announcement right around maybe Christmas this year. I think that would put us in a good place to get it out. Depends on how many edits he's going to do as well. I know he edits as he writes, which does lengthen the writing process for most people. But who knows if he goes through it another time after that with his editor. So we'll see.
Okay. Well, you know, another good time would be Emmy season. And, you know, that will be coming up here shortly, right? A lot of these award shows, stuff like that, you know, we got to keep our eyes out because, you know, the Emmys have always, you know, for the 2010s, the Emmys were basically the Game of Thrones Invitational. Okay.
It's true.
I think Game of Thrones won more championships than Alabama in the 2010s. Okay.
And that's
so,
a lot.
You know, that's a lot. So we'll definitely be keeping an eye out for that. So, all right, guys. Well, hey, with that, that's just a short little, like, you know, here's an update. There happened to be a little bit of House of the Dragon news, so we wanted to pop in an extra episode and just get some of that talking about because it's exciting, right? We're going to be seeing more of it here shortly. And, you know, it's season one of House of the Dragon was a lot of fun to cover. And of course, you know, we got to see filming leaks and all of that kind of stuff. So We'll definitely be covering all of that as well. So next time, though, guys, we will be back into the reread Sansa 1. It's a bigger chapter now that I've read it again. And, man, a lot of cool stuff in there.
There's so many little things mentioned that are massive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really good. Yeah, so that's another reason we did this episode, is it was like, oh, wow, this one is going to be big. That's going to need to be like an hour and a half. It might be like a 2-hour episode because it's huge, mega chapter. So
yes,
with that, guys, as always, thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for listening. I know we've had a lot more people sign up on Patreon lately, so absolutely appreciating that. And we'll definitely be getting some more fun content up there as well. So with that, guys, as always, have a good one, and remember that winter is coming.